Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown where we cut through the noise to bring you what really matters from corporate America's quarterly reports. I'm Alex.
And I'm Jordan. Today, we're diving into Stryker's first quarter 2026 results. And wow, this was definitely not your typical earnings call.
Before we get into it, I need to mention that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Absolutely. So, Alex, let's start with the elephant in the room. Stryker got hit by a cyber attack late in first quarter. How bad was the damage?
It was significant, Jordan. Organic sales growth came in at just 2.4%, way below what you'd normally expect from Stryker. Even more telling, adjusted earnings per share dropped 8.5% to $2.60. CEO Kevin Lobo mentioned they had 40,000 laptops wiped and were essentially shut down for about 3 weeks.
That's brutal. But here's what caught my attention. Despite all this chaos, they maintained their full-year guidance. That's either incredibly optimistic or they have serious confidence in their recovery plan.
I'm leaning toward confidence. CFO Preston Wells was pretty detailed about why they think they'll bounce back. He explained that different business units were affected differently based on their operating models. For example, their orthopedic business has a lot of consigned inventory sitting right at hospitals, so surgeries could continue even when Stryker systems were down.
Right. It was more of a revenue recognition issue there rather than lost procedures. But their capital equipment business, things like hospital beds and defibrillators, that's where they really got hit because those are made-to-order products.
Exactly. And Wells said most of that lost production will shift to third quarter and fourth quarter rather than second quarter, which makes sense given manufacturing lead times. What I found interesting was how resilient their underlying business seems to be.
Talk about that resilience. What are the bright spots?
Well, they had their best ever first quarter for MOCO robot installations, both in the U.S. and internationally. That's their surgical robotics platform, and utilization rates are climbing. Plus, they just got European approval for Pangea. That's their trauma plating system that's been driving explosive growth in the U.S.
And let's not forget the M&A activity. They announced they're acquiring Amplitude Vascular Systems, which gets them into the intravascular lithotripsy space. That's basically using sound waves to break up calcified plaque and blood vessels.
Kevin Lobo was really bullish on that deal during the Q&A. He said it fits perfectly with their existing peripheral vascular business through Inari, which they bought last year. Same call points, same physicians.
Speaking of the Q&A, there were some great nuggets in there. One analyst asked about competitive dynamics in orthopedics, and Lobo basically said, bring it on. He mentioned they expect to keep outgrowing the orthopedic market by 200 to 300 basis points, just like they have been.
I loved his comment about their robotics portfolio, too. He said the new Mako RPS, that's their handheld robotic system, is getting great feedback, especially in ambulatory surgery centers. It's like a stepping stone for surgeons who find full Mako too intimidating.
The international story is pretty compelling, too. While the U.S. grew 1.9%, international was up 3.9% despite the cyber issues. Lobo highlighted Japan as their second largest market outside the U.S., and it's experiencing tremendous growth.
And they're just getting started globally. He mentioned Saudi Arabia as a big opportunity, and they're still working on improving Latin America. When you think about it, their market share internationally is still well below U.S. levels in many regions.
Let's talk margins for a second. Gross margins dropped 190 basis points to 63.6%, mainly from lost manufacturing absorption during the shutdown, but they're maintaining their full-year margin expectations.
Preston Wells seemed confident they could absorb some inflationary pressures from higher oil costs and other inputs. Their procurement team apparently has contracts in place to help mitigate that.
One thing that stood out to me was the capital allocation discussion. They ended the quarter at 2.1x gross debt to EBITDA, which gives them plenty of firepower for more acquisitions. Lobo explicitly said investors should expect them to be active in M&A through the end of this year and into next.
That's classic Stryker. They're not a one-and-done company, as Lobo put it. The question is where they deploy that capital next. There was an interesting exchange about soft tissue robotics. That's a hot area with dozens of startups, though Lobo cautioned it's not for the faint of heart.
Right, and he emphasized they don't have to do it. That's smart. They're not desperately defending market share. They're looking for value-creating opportunities.
So, what's the bottom line for investors here? This quarter was obviously an anomaly due to the cyber incident, but the underlying business fundamentals look solid. They've got a strong robotics franchise, international growth momentum, and a healthy acquisition pipeline.
The real test will be the next couple of quarters. Can they actually recover that lost production and revenue recognition? Their guidance assumes organic growth of 8% to 9.5% for the full year, an EPS of $14.90 to $15.10. That's a pretty aggressive catch-up.
But if anyone can do it, it's probably Stryker. They've got leading positions in attractive markets, and their track record of execution is pretty solid. The fact that they maintained customer relationships through this crisis is telling.
I was impressed by Lobo's comment that customers were actually praising how they handled the incident. When you're dealing with surgical procedures and patient care, trust is everything.
Absolutely. And looking ahead, they've got some nice catalysts. Mako Shoulder launching on their newest platform mid-year, the Pangea rollout in Europe, and continued momentum in international markets.
Before we wrap up, I should mention that everything we've discussed today is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence before making any investment decisions.
Great point, Jordan. For Stryker, this quarter was all about resilience and recovery. The cyber incident was a significant disruption, but their response and maintained guidance suggest the underlying business remains strong. We'll be watching closely to see if they can deliver on those ambitious full-year targets.
That's a wrap for today's Beta Finch Earnings Breakdown. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time with more AI-powered analysis of corporate America's quarterly results.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.